I'm John.
And I'm Ron.
And I'm Jason. And this is Digital Divination on the No Direction Network.
All right, we are back for episode 139 of Digital Divination.
And there's no Jason Keeley. It's just me, Ron Lundeen, employee of Wizards of the Coast, and the opinions I express here are mine and not theirs.
Yes. Did you write that down? Looks like you're reading it.
I didn't. I just remembered it better.
Well done. Well done. Yeah, unfortunately, Jason is a little tapped out. He's been doing a lot of work lately, and he's not able to make it.
Ooh, I believe that. Happens to all of us. Nothing wrong with that. It's a little bit of rest is good. Yeah, but it does give me the floor in order to give chicken news. I just saw you today. Since I saw you earlier today,
okay,
I found somebody to take my remaining flock of two hens. We'd had probably some
leftovers.
Raccoons get in there. Yeah, the leftovers. And we were raising a new flock in our garage, but one of the nine turned out to be a rooster, a very noisy rooster. And our rule around here is if it crows, it goes. If it lays, it stays. It crowed, so it had to go. So I was looking to get rid of these three chickens, and a friend of a friend was happy to take them, my two old laying hens and my new young rooster. So I dropped those off. Earlier today, I'd also redone my whole chicken sort of run, made sure that was secure, redid a couple of the walls for that. After I rehomed the chickens, I cleaned out the old coop. I pressure washed it. I did a little bit of repairs.
Wow.
And then put in new bedding, new food, new water, and moved my flock from the garage into their new home for years and years and years. So that was a very chicken exciting day for them.
Now, how do they handle going from that the big box to the heat lamp to the real world?
It was actually fine. They get along really well with each other. So the first one we moved in flipped out, like the first one I handed into the new place, even though it was a lot more space, flipped out. And the second one equally flipped out. And by the time I got the third one in there, they're like, okay, there's enough people I know already here, right? I've been this way at parties, to be perfectly honest. I'm like, wait, I don't want to be here. There are enough people I know here. Okay, this is cool. I can be here. And then by the time we got the eighth one in, it was, where'd everybody go? Oh, there y'all are. Great. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, good, good. I'm excited. How long before they start laying?
Well, that's the thing. We don't know. These got really big, really fast. Normally it's, it's July now, as our listeners know. Normally we don't move them from the garage into the coop until August. This is really early, but they got really big and they were really crowding each other. So normally they wouldn't lay until, I want to say September or October, but maybe we'll get eggs as soon as August. So,
oh, nice, nice.
We'll see.
Yeah. Very excited. Very excited. All right. And for that, we've concluded the chicken report.
Yes.
Now, for our next order of business, Starfinder related things. So
excellent.
I was, as you know, Ron, I'm applying for a part-time design position.
Good. And I do know. This would be very exciting.
Yeah. And one of the things that I like about it is it takes an IP that I'm really excited about. So an actual book series, several book series. And there's a game that's kind of built in the world of the books. And so I'm kind of excited because I like the books and I think the game is going to be a lot of fun. And to be able to play that and design for it, I think would be great. I think there's going to be literally hundreds of people applying for it. So who knows?
You've got a lot of strong design chops and you've been doing it for years and years. I think that you're, you know, the equal or better to a lot of these people that are going to be applying. I think your chances are good.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm not getting my hopes up because we know how hard it is to get a design job, but I think it would be great. But it got me thinking, though, about Starfinder 2nd Edition and different sci-fi IP out there that I think it would be great to use the Starfinder second edition rules on in order to play a game within the IP. And now some of these, the ones that I thought of, actually do have game systems, and I've seen some.
Oh, because a couple of mine did too, and that's all right.
And I think that's okay, but I'm thinking, you know, I like Starfinder, and I like Starfinder Second Edition. Well, what if we could get the license and make it for those, or even just for fun, make it for those? And so I've compiled my top five IPs that I would like to build a Starfinder conversion for.
All right, you keep going above and beyond in so many aspects of your life, John. You told me three with an honorable mention, so you've got one more than I do.
Oh, shoot. I did.
No, that's okay. If you go first, then we weave it together. You go last, and it looks like we just take turns all the way through.
Well, let me tell you why I moved from three to... So the three was when there was three of us.
Oh, I see. But no, Jason means we've got more time to fill.
And when we met today, I actually said, oh, let's do five.
Oh, but I will blame it on the hearing aid. I did not hear. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. That's okay.
And instead, I filled 3 minutes of Chicken Report. So,
yes. So that's great. That's super. All right. So, again, I'm going to work from five to two, give my honorable mention, and go to one. That's kind of my
five to my order. Okay. All right. Makes sense.
All right. So, my number five IP out there that I would like to convert to Starfinder second edition to play is the Mad Max franchise. And
ooh, this is not a surprise. You're a real post-apocalyptic fan.
Yes. And so, you know, I really like that setting, and I'm thinking what are the IPs out there that I enjoy the most? And this is maybe not the one I like the best. Actually, you know, there's a couple I like out there quite a bit. And there's actually a television series coming out on one of them called Earth Abides. I don't know if you're familiar with that at all.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's kind of a post-apocalyptic, but not like a major apocalypse kind of thing. Lucifer's Hammer is a book that's, you know, a comet hits the Earth and things. And what happens after that? Mad Max is like pushing it way, way out in the future. And of course, it's in Australia. So, you know, there's all kinds of additional aspects.
Well, and that's really interesting about that is the Road Warrior didn't push it very far into the future. And it just keeps getting further and further and further out.
Right, exactly. The thing about this is it's not super high tech. It's not super magic-y. But I like kind of the grittiness, the salvaging you have to do, the scraping together of stuff. You know, this would include, obviously, besides the setting changes, kind of coming up with new backgrounds, new skills, new types of resources that you had to utilize, because you can't have all blasters and stuff, right? You're very limited to what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this type of setting, scaled back in the high tech, kind of enables the players to really, I mean, a lot of us, like when we played our game with Tondro, right? Mutineer Zero, where anything you find is useful to you and your compound and pushing forward what you're able to do. And so,
but is also franchise. Expendable, which is part of that feel as well. Stuff's very cobbled together and it's only going to work a few times. Well, let me ask you a question. This is a question that I had when I was putting my list together. And sometimes my answer is it doesn't, but where does magic from Starfinder Second Edition fit into the setting of yours, John, the Mad Max IP?
Yeah. So in the IP itself, it doesn't seem to have magic, though it seems to have, there's a lot of cultural references. I shouldn't say it's not cultural references, but like customs and traditions that end up getting developed because of how they've had to adapt because of the post-apocalyptic nature. And some of those could be rituals and things like that. It would definitely be a low magic kind of setting in terms of the scale of magic.
Yeah, or I think you could probably adapt that IP with a little higher magic than has been shown if the cult of the War Boys has some magic yes. to it. That might be kind of yes. if the history man could draw upon some magic in order to pass along lore, that could be interesting.
Right, right. But you couldn't, I mean, if everybody's throwing around lightning bolts and fireballs and able to do high tech, yeah. you know,
stuff. You'd lose the feel. Yeah, you'd right. lose the feel of that for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of, you know, maybe it's like only up to third level spells or something, you know, would be yeah. some way you would cap that. And of course, eliminating. So anyway, that's just kind of my rough on that.
Okay.
So that's my number five. Should I go to number four as well? And then you'll
do
jump
your,
in.
Do your number four. Do up until two.
Oh.
And then I'll do three and two. You see what I mean?
Oh, okay. I got it. Okay. All right. So my number four is the Alien franchise. Again,
good
this is
choice.
A,
yeah.
is a pretty high tech. A lot of, you know, it's kind of horror and scary. And one of the things that got me thinking about this a lot is, do you remember when we first started playing Starfinder, what happened to, what's it, Kelby, Kelso, your guy?
Your envoy. When I got, so many things went so wrong for that guy. Are you talking specifically about the time I got grabbed and dunked into the acid pool and held there?
Oh, no, that's a good one. No, there was a Kasarik, a plant-type creature that shot yep. spores out into you.
And I started, growing the spores. And yeah.
Yes, and they started incubating in your body, and we had to, cut them out, do damage to you. And so it really made me that kind of thing reminded me at the time of course, Alien, because of the explosive, you know, emergence of the creatures. But also, again, this would be a high-tech area, high-tech kind of content, but a lot of this alien horror in there, you know, so the xenomorphs are very scary and stuff like that. You could still have magic in this case, and I would make the xenomorph would have to have some magical components to it as well, to counter that. But the whole the fear of these things kind of incubating in the players, and what do you do when that starts happening, I think would be a very exciting thing, as it was for us, you know, relatively low level, not knowing what to do. I mean, we're like first level it was book three, so we're probably like fourth level right. at that time.
Right. Yeah. But it's still too low to have an easy answer to what it is right. we're trying to do. That was
no issue. Greater restoration or anything, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So that was my number four. Boy, I'm just going all the way through these. Okay. Number three, and this is only because I think this is just a really fun series, and I think you could do magic in this as well, but it's Firefly. Serenity or Firefly.
Oh, yeah. You know, yeah. I was going to put Firefly on my list. Firefly's not on my list, but it was close. It was a close thing. Yeah. That yeah. maybe would have been my number four, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's a fun thing to play. Now, we have an AP called Fly Free or Die that tries to kind of capitalize on that. So I think you could actually do the whole story in Starfinder as it is, but mm-hmm. to really flavor it for that specific IPs, which what I'm talking about, I think would be a lot of fun. And people that were really into Firefly, now there is a Firefly game, so obviously they could play
the Serenity RPG. I played it right. actually. It was yeah. a lot of fun.
But if you just wanted to use your Starfinder rules to do that conversion, I think would be great. Okay. Yep. So that's my 5, 4, and 3. You can go with 3.
My number 3 would be Dune. I
oh,
think that
yes,
the obvious sort of a high tech that's so high people sort of dismiss it as being kind of routine is mm-hmm. a really good feel there. And yes. the voice that the Bene Gesserit use is very much
very magic.
So
yes.
when I was asking the question I had for each of these, where does magic fit? That's very much the Bene Gesserit and the sort of rebel versions of that. They're trying to right. sort of misuse the magic from their perspective, misusing the magic. I think you could have sort of a more robust magic system in Dune. That's my number 3.
No, I think that's great. In fact, I didn't really worry much about magic when I was making my choices. So had I been I think Dune would have been there on my list. My number, I'm just going with sci-fi type franchises I really like a lot. As you can probably tell from what I'm picking. My number two, and this is like one of my most favorite franchises out there. And there's a game out there that had a massive Kickstarter for it. It's The Expanse.
Yep.
I really love the series. I really love the books. I love how realistic the technology seems. Rationally, it all seems to connect to make sense. You know, there's not a lot of black boxy kind of feel to it. It's like, oh yeah, this is how they do stealth things. I don't know.
Whatever. I'm disagreeing with you there. Stuff like the protomolecule and things like
that is a
real sort of mysterious, mm-hmm. if not magical, kind of feel to it.
And the rings and all that transport. Yep. Yes.
My wife might agree with you. We were out of town for free RPG day this year, but we were in Northern California and happened to come across a game store. I'm like, oh, let's stop in, see what's there. And they had a big table with all of the free RPG day products on it. I said, oh, you guys are doing a free RPG day? That's great. They said, yeah, you can take up to three of those. My wife looks over the 20 or 30 different offerings. And the first thing she says is, ooh, The Expanse. That's what she, that's the one that she picked up.
Yeah, my store was really nice. I know the guy a lot. He said, take whatever I wanted.
We were guests. We were out of town.
Yeah. I took six things, but I was the first one there. And I was there for an hour and hardly anybody took anything. So I didn't feel so bad. Yeah, I took a couple at the beginning. Then I said, oh, well, if these aren't going like hotcakes, I'm going to take a couple more that I really want. Yeah, I enjoy the Expanse quite a bit. And in fact, when I get the Transport Union edition, we should probably play some Expanse.
I would love to. Yep.
All right.
That was your Expanse is your number two.
Yes.
Right? My number two is Warhammer 40K. I know there have actually been a lot of role-playing games on Warhammer 40K, and Warhammer 40K is itself a game, but also a video game phenomenon, and there's been, you know, shorts and movies. But the world itself of sort of this, or the game universe itself of sort of this galaxy at war, and there is a lot of magic, right? Everything from, Eldar psionic magic to the chaos warp magic and things like that. It's just it does really gritty sci-fi, like super, super gritty sci-fi, in a way that I think not a lot of other games have been able to capture quite so well. The few times I've played a Warhammer 40K RPG, I thought it went really well. But there is something to be said for the idea of like you're kind of start out as maybe nobodies, right? You're Imperial Guardsmen or you're just sort of the, grunts who in the course of Starfinder Second Edition, you would become a lot more powerful as you complete quests and complete missions. And that kind of that zero to hero is actually some of the fun novels and stories that have been set in that universe, Gaunt's Ghosts and the like, of Dan Abnett's books, have a lot of like zero to hero feel of the people. And I think that could be really captured in Starfinder Second Edition version of Warhammer 40K. That's my number two.
I think so. And very epic, you know, the battles and stuff, you'd be very epic in terms of what you're doing. So I think that would be great. Well, my number one, as I'm sure everybody knows.
Are you doing honorable mention first or number one first?
I know honorable mention. Oh, shoot. I blew that. My honorable mention is a really fun thing that I like. It's Starship Troopers. I think it's
Starship Troopers would be good. Yeah.
Fun, campy. I mean, the book isn't really campy, but the movies are really campy.
The movie's way campier than the book.
And I think it would be a lot of fun to play basically like the movies again, where you're starting off as grunts and you're slowly working your way through and you're against all kinds of, I mean, a lot of it, you know, against the swarm or what's the name of that AP? It's not against the swarm, is it? Is it Against the Swarm? The name of the overall AP?
Right.
Okay. I don't remember. I know it's against Aeon Throne.
So, oh, that's right. That's against Aeon Throne. Attack of the Swarm.
Attack of the Swarm. Yeah. So, I mean, Attack of the Swarm, I think, tried to capture some of that because you're just getting hit by all these bugs and all these different types of bugs, different shaped bugs all the time. But it wasn't really campy. The whole thing was really serious when you're playing
and it was really deadly in a lot of it, right? People were getting a lot of.
Yeah. And so I think something where you made it, but it was a bit campier campaign. I think that was my honorable mention. As I was talking to, I was actually talking to Jason Tondro about things. And even Keely about it. When you have big battles, you know, big wars against other folks. So like when you're battling a whole swarm army, it's hard for an individual to stand out. And it ends up a lot of times being like this troop battle, mm-hmm. right? You're controlling troops and things. And I find that as a RPG player, that's less satisfying to me than an individual battle. And so that's one reason why I put that as an honorable mention, because it's harder for me to see you doing that, you know, you're a piece of a small cog in a bigger system, but you can still do a lot of that.
Yeah, there's a real sense. I started, I'll not quite leave Warhammer 40K yet. When I started playing Games Workshop games, I started with Warhammer 40K and then moved to Warhammer Fantasy. And in Warhammer 40K, you've got like squads of dudes or monsters or whatever. They're all independent. They have to stay close to each other on the battlefield, but they have a very feel of individuals. Whereas Warhammer Fantasy, everybody's on square bases and they get racked up into like 4x4, you know, blocks of people. And as you lose them, you take them off from the back. And I found that kind of unsatisfying. I'm like, well, I want to be individual dudes. I don't want to be a squad. And a friend of mine pointed out, your squad is just a dude, right? It may be high elf spearmen, but it's really, if you think of it as one high elf spear man who is taking more and more hits and his ability to attack is degrading as he does, I'm like, oh, that does make it feel like that's kind of just one powerful dude.
Yeah.
So maybe it's the way you view a unit of troops or something like that might be a little more compelling for you. Maybe. I don't know. Suggestion.
Fair enough.
My honorable mention comes from kind of a weird direction. And my honorable mention is Exodus, which is a forthcoming game by Archetype Studios, I want to say, underneath the Hasbro umbrella. I've seen a couple of trailers for it, and it looks like it's going to be a fairly exciting game, but I didn't get really into it until I picked up a novel called The Archimedes Engine, which was... No, I don't remember who wrote it, but it's a fairly popular science fiction author wrote it, and it's set in this universe. And boy, does that really grip me. That book, the general overview, if you're not familiar with it, is that when Earth died, humanity sent out all these generation ships in all these different directions looking for places they could inhabit. And a bunch of humans did, in fact, find this whole cluster of worlds that had all been seeded with habitable planets, and they sent out sort of this the sort of interstellar announcement, we found our home, come on back. And the very farthest humans who went in the other direction, who heard got this message and then came back, well, tens of thousands of years had passed in their generation ships and their, you know, cryo sleep and so on before they get back. By the time they arrive, the humanity that had sent the message had just super evolved into, frankly, inhuman creatures that sort of rule everything. And as humans show up, it's like, where's even our place in this world where people have 10,000 years advanced ahead of us? And so there's the rough and tumble travelers on the frontiers who are trying to find old space artifacts and stuff. There's a real sense of adventure in a place like that.
Wow. Yeah.
The inhumanity of the celestials, which are what people call the humans that have evolved to be something else, have all sorts of powers that might be ascribed to magic or the like. Anyway, it's just because it's a book I'm 2/3 of the way through and I'm really fascinated by it. That's my honorable mention pick. Part of the reason I felt like it had to be honorable mention is because there is a RPG for this that came out just recently.
Starfinder 2nd edition. Yeah,
that's right. I haven't looked at it yet, but I wonder, knowing what I know about sort of this sci-fi game universe, the Starfinder Second Edition rules, I think would work really well for it.
Right, right, right. Good. Now I'm going to go back to my top one. Thanks for
the guy right behind you.
The guy right behind me, The Mandalorian. Everyone knows I'm a big fan of The Mandalorian. And I think you can work magic in there, obviously, from the Star Wars universe. You know, but again, kind of the grittiness, there's high tech, but it's really kind of like kind of rough edge high tech, you know, very human stories, very individually driven. I enjoy it a lot, you know, and be able to play the role of a bounty hunter or many other kind of roles in there. There's mechanics and pilots, and, you know, you could be a member of the rebellion. You could be a member of the Empire, you know, all kinds of different things you could do. I think that would be fun. And I think obviously you could take Starfinder Second Edition and build the rule set and put it in that context pretty straightforward. But that would be, in fact, if I run a homebrew, that's probably what I'm doing for you. You probably already know that. That'll be fun. So,
well, one of the things that I really like about that choice, one of the things I really like about The Mandalorian is that it's fundamentally about building something better, right? He's not just a bounty hunter. He's a bounty hunter with a code who gets the opportunity to save this weird little critter and protect this weird little critter. He's trying to kind of make everything better when his people in particular are so scattered.
Right.
And the people who are trying to make the world better, Carl Weathers' character in that one, right? They're trying to sort of tame the frontier and make things better for people. That's what heroism looks like in that game, in that IP. And I think I like games where that's what heroism looks like in the game. So I've absolutely understood.
Nice.
My number one also comes from something else that I'm currently enjoying. A little bit of a weird choice, but bear with me here. Did you see the series Raised by Wolves on HBO Max?
I've seen bits and pieces of it. I know what it's about.
It is. I started watching, we just got Apple TV, mostly so we could watch Severance, but I started watching a show called Murderbot, which is about settlers on the frontier in space and so on, and about this sort of put upon sentry droid. I don't love it. Everything that's good about Murderbot reminded me of all the awesome stuff I really liked about Raised by Wolves a couple of years ago. I saw Raised by Wolves by myself and didn't watch it with my wife, but the more I talk about how Murderbot is making me remember how good Raised by Wolves was, we're going to be watching Raised by Wolves again.
Well, good.
And that world has this sort of, like, the Earth that they leave in this has this sort of religious faction war that has destroyed Earth. And I think that a war-type setting, you talked about Attack of the Swarm, you talked about Starship Troopers, I think is a real compelling place to set a game. And we know Starfinder Second Edition can do it. But something that's set with this kind of religious war that's sort of tearing humanity apart. And how do you either set yourself aside from that to try to fix things? That doesn't work out in this world, in the series. So how do you combine yourself with that? How do you, again, build something better? I think that could actually be a really interesting interesting game world in which to be adventuring. It's Starfinder Second Edition. It does have a little bit of the what's magic in this world. Well, maybe it's super high tech, like the androids that have the sort of impossible to defeat high tech. Maybe that's where magic comes in. I don't know. But that's going to be my sort of unexpected and out there number one choice.
You know, it's funny. I haven't watched that series mostly because I don't know that my wife would enjoy watching it just from the clips I've seen. But when I've looked at it, it reminded me a bit about Torg Eternity because of the big religious faction in there.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So I'm thinking, of course, Ron is going to like
this. There.
Yes,
that's true. You see me. I feel seen, John. Thank you. You know, maybe that's part of the reason that I really, really sort of latched onto that. So much for so that when some other later show reminds me of it,
For those who don't know, Ron really, really loves Torg Eternity. So
I do.
And that Murderbot, I've saw the clips for that too, and I'm kind of interested in that as well. So what is your take on that?
You know, I don't much mind it, but after every episode, I'm like, this is just making me like Raised by Wolves, which is Murderbot's funny, and Raised by Wolves is not funny. It's very grim in a lot of ways.
Right, and that's why I didn't think my wife would like it as much.
Yeah. I would watch. I think I made it 5 episodes into Murderbot. I got as far as it was available to me, and I have not caught up. But you know, one thing that really surprises me, we didn't duplicate any on our lists.
You know, I was thinking, and I was not even intentionally trying not to do that. I just went through, and all of these, just from the era that I grew up, that's where a lot of the popular sci-fi things that obviously came up.
Well, I intentionally didn't pick Star Trek or Star Wars. I thought those would probably be a little bit. And I know a lot of people who would put something like Doctor Who into this onto their lists, but I don't know Doctor Who well enough myself to put it on my list. So
I'm interested in what
Jason would put on
his. I know. I wish he were here because he always has some really nice takes on things. So hopefully Jason is listening, and at the start of next episode, he'll just run them off really quick.
Just run his 3, even if it's only 3 like me, even if he takes the lazy way out like I did.
Yes, for sure. And I was thinking for next time, and I'll just prime you in the audience, next time is going to be right at Gen Con is when it's going to be released, right around then, I think. So we'll record it before Gen Con.
Didn't we joke about getting together and recording it at Gen Con?
I don't think we're going to do that.
You don't want to bring all your stuff?
Well, I could, but I don't think it's going to work. I was thinking we would talk about what we want to go do, play, see at Gen Con. Because there's a couple of things I'm really excited to see and check out there, besides what I'm running, and we could talk about that. We talked about that last Gen Con, so I thought we could talk about it this Gen Con as well.
Let's do it. I'm doing Gen Con very differently this year, so this will be that'll be good for me. So, and you're doing it very differently this year.
I know. I wish I was doing it more like you. In the future, I probably will do that.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see. All right. Well, this has been great. This is it worked out.
It's just like the old times.
Just like the old times. I'm John,
and I'm Ron, and this is Digital Divination.